It feels so inadequate, so not enough. I'm just a guy, right? And it doesn't. He is worthy, right? And now, like, in this moment, we turn our attention to me and to my voice, and I'm just a dude. Like, and I want you, for however long I stand here and talk, to make a deal with me that while my voice bounces off these walls, that your heart is concentrated on his heart. Because I don't have anything to say. He has something to say. I've got no words up here that are like magical or awesome or whatever. Like, I'm just a dude. I'm just a guy reading to you some awesome words, right? So I want you to let your heart connect with his heart. Let him talk to you, because I'm just a guy. That's all. I'm just a guy. And I feel, after a worship set like that, after praying for Abby and the baby like that, it just doesn't feel right to stand here and talk. But that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand here and talk, because that's what y'all pay me to do. Okay, all right. I'm trying to shake it off and move on. All right, so we finished up with love. We wrapped her up. That's right. We finished up with love. And so now, okay, so we were always marveling at our salvation. Now we're back to marvel at our salvation. Now, for those of you who did my crossword puzzle last week, how many of you did the crossword puzzle last week? Two? Two? Three. Okay, all right. So more than just a couple. All right. So apparently there was some hang-ups on eight down that caused some frustration. The title of this sermon series is, and has been the entire time, Marvel at Our Salvation. So eight down, if you haven't had the answer yet, marvel is the one that goes in there. We marvel at our salvation by talking about the benefits of our salvation. But marvel is the title of the series, not benefits. So we're discussing benefits while marveling. All right? We got that under control? Good. All right. I got angry text messages in all caps. What is this? It doesn't make sense. So now we're moving back to the benefits. Here are some of the stuff that we've talked about over the last year. We've talked about compassion. We've talked about release the overwhelm. We've talked about you are not in control, the freedom to be bold, how you have something to live for, how you don't have to care what others think about you. We've talked about forgiveness, unforgiveness, church hurt. We talked about the Holy Spirit. We've talked about prayer. We talked about communion. We talked about worship. We talked about how we are the temple. We talked about joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And now we're talking, and then we talked about love. Of course, we started love the first week in February. That's how long we were in love. We're still in love. Hey, all right. We're in love. And so now we're moving on to another benefit, and it is that growth is a process. God is not requiring immediate perfection from you. It's a matter of progress, not progression. Not perfection. Who said praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Because if he required perfection of us, especially immediately, it would be a tremendous downfall for us, because none of us would ever make it. Look, I'm talking about how I'm just a dude. Like, I'm just a guy. Like, I'm a selfish sinner, just like you, right? Just because I get to stand up here and do this doesn't make me more perfect or more holy or more whatever. I am just a regular old guy, and we're all striving for the same progress, not perfection. And so for us, growth is a process. So when you first get saved, you're like this little baby Christian, like Tommy Lee, And then hopefully you grow up to be like Abby. Yep. So, all right, except maybe less silly, right? You know. Somebody was praying for you, or somebody was praying for you or talking about you and used the phrase weirdly confident. And I thought, that describes Abby really well. This is weird. Confidently weird, is that what it was? All right. All right, let's read some scriptures. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 3. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You're still jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like the people of the world? Okay, so growth is a process. Now, he's talking to people who had known Jesus at least for some amount of time. And they were refusing to grow up. They were refusing to mature any, like to stop being jealous or to stop quarreling with each other and to really dip their toe into all of these benefits, because we're talking about all these benefits, right? All of this awesome stuff that we get with our salvation, right? It's not just your ticket to heaven. It's all this other depth in Christ. It's all this other, like, if you live your whole life and never grow, then, like, that's no fun being a Christian. Then you just feel guilty all the time for not following the rules, right? And you're like, that would be no fun to be a Christian like that, to not be investing in and experiencing his depths and his awesomeness, because it goes beyond and beyond and beyond anything that we could even imagine. Anything that I'm going to touch on in any of these sermons, it goes so much deeper than all of that. His relationship that he wants to have with you is this incredible thing, because he's the God of the universe, like, for real. And he knows you full inside and out. I was talking in Sunday school this morning about prayer, and I was like, one of the great things about prayer is that you don't have to tell God the story. You don't have to explain to him how you feel. He already knows how you feel. He already knows the story. You forget somebody's name when you're praying, it's okay. God knows their name, right? And so this relationship that you can have with Jesus is so deep and it's so powerful. And so if you're just on this to get your ticket into heaven and you don't want anything else out of it, man, you're letting the best in it pass you right by. Why spend your whole time on earth here miserable? That doesn't even make sense. Like, all of a sudden I'm thinking about my grandfather. My grandfather was not a Christian for a bunch of years, right? And then he had a heart attack or heart surgery. I don't remember. I was very young. And my granny always said that they must have put some bad blood in him, because he was super grumpy from the heart attack forward. And he was a grumpy man. He was a grumpy man. I mean, he loved his grandkids, so I didn't have any trouble with him. But yeah, he was a grumpy man. Anyway, the thing about that is, he prayed the prayer of salvation. He prayed that prayer in the hospital. His brother led him to the Lord in the hospital during that time. And so part of me wonders if those two things don't line up. Him praying that prayer and being grumpy the rest of his life is because he actually got saved in that moment, but refused to live for it, for God, because he was too prideful, he was too arrogant, he was too whatever, he couldn't humble himself before the Lord. And so for the rest of his life, he just lived frustrated, like constantly knowing that God wants something from him, but refusing to turn to it. Like, how miserable must that be? And so if that's you in this room, if you're like, if you've got your salvation and you're like, that's good enough for me, it's not good enough. He wants so much more, and it's for your benefit. It's for your good if you invest in it, if you get deep into it. None of that was in my notes. All right. It really is. The salvation, it's so good, you guys. It's so good. Like, when you do goofy things, right? When you do something that's super selfish, right? Or something that's super sinful. And then the Bible tells us that we can boldly come before the throne of God. That's what the Bible tells us. We can boldly come before his throne. Even in the midst of your yucky sin, your grossness, even in the midst of that, you can still return. That's one of the beautiful things about God. He wants to see you coming. Always. He always, like, you know, that we as Christians, you know, our relationship with him is like a roller coaster, right? Sometimes we're running towards him, sometimes we're running away. But the thing is, always, he always wants to see you coming. He's always standing there with open arms. And so as you run away into your sin and it leaves you miserable and tired and broken, and he wants to see you coming. He doesn't stand back and say, no, no, you earned that. You did earn it. It's true. You did. You earned the consequences of your sin. But he still wants to see you coming. He wants to wrap his arms around you. He wants to love you. He does want to love you. And if you're just living this miserable Christian life, then stop. Invest in him. Give him more of yourself. It's worth it, I promise. Okay. Now, if you're a baby Christian, let's just read some baby Christian stuff right here. John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Let's look at another one here. This is Romans 3:23. For everyone has sinned, for we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And then Romans 10:9-10. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. If you're a baby Christian, five scriptures I've just read to you are about as deep as you've gone. And there's a whole book more worth of information. Right? If you're a baby Christian, if all you've ever given him is salvation, if that's all you've ever done and you're still, you're refusing to get any deeper, then these scriptures are the only ones that you're invested in. And yet there's so much more life, there's so much more joy, there's so much more love, there's so much more happiness, there's so much more peace invested in all the rest of these pages. You know, I don't know how many scriptures are in the Bible, whatever, 100,000. I don't know, I just made that number up. I don't know how many are in here, but I guarantee you there's so much more than you're just letting pass you by if you're just this baby stage, if you're just still drinking milk. Look, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I put it up, I don't have my... this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. You can become a new person, a whole new person, by investing in these scriptures, by investing in Jesus, by investing in who he is, by allowing relationship to happen between you and him. And it happens slow. God understands that. He knows, like the day I got saved, I remember feeling different. Like actually feeling like I was lighter. Of course, back then I probably didn't weigh 110 pounds, but I remember feeling lighter. I remember feeling like this is awesome. Why are people not more excited about this? I remember feeling like something was different. And then somehow or another that feeling faded away, and all was left was just this ball of sin that was destined for heaven. And I spent 8 years like that. It wasn't until 18 that I really started to give my life to Jesus. And it's so much better on this side, you guys. Back then, I was chasing, like, any girl who would give me attention. I was chasing anybody who would give me attention. I just wanted to be loved. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be popular. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be funny. I wanted to be, and, like, I'm chasing all these things, and it's all empty. My life is so much better now as I have invested in this. So if you're a baby, stop being a baby. like, start reading this thing. And next week, we're going to talk about how to feed yourself. And so next week, we're going to talk about, I'm going to give you some tips on how to grow, how to do this, how to become more adult Christian. The next step would be, okay, so the first step is just salvation, right? You got your ticket to heaven, all right? So the next step would be training. And so now maybe we've moved on to some baby food. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We spent weeks on this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, growth hurts, okay? Growth hurts. Like, if you're going to start giving your life away to Jesus, then it's going to require some pain on your part. Any growth hurts. If you want to learn how to ride a bicycle, you're going to fall and scratch your knee. If you're going to want to start working out, then muscles are going to ache, right? Any growth is going to hurt. If you want to learn how to love people better, then it's going to hurt because you're going to get hurt. I mean, you guys were teenagers, right? You remember breaking up with people? It hurts, right? That's just part of life. Like, any part of growth hurts. I remember this was back in probably 1998. I used to drink Mountain Dew by the 55-gallon drum, I think. It was like Mountain Dew was my drink. And, you know, at that point, this would have been, I'd been 21 or something like that. Anyway, you know, people around me were like, man, you should drink some water every now and then, right? So I took that to heart, and I started drinking water. Now, I was like, okay, I'll drink water like with lunch or whatever. But I'm not drinking water with pizza. I'm not drinking water with burgers. I'm not drinking water with breakfast. But I sort of slowly started drinking water, right, more and more. And then it became more and more natural for me to drink water until finally, like, okay, water's good with pizza and water's good with breakfast and water's good with. So now I'm like, I'm water only. I've been water only since like 1999. And that's not a flex. It's just like, it's just part of who I am. I just enjoy water now, right? And it's better for me, right? I don't have all the acid or whatever they put in it. Like, every now and then, Levi wants me to drink take a drink of one of his monsters or something like that. And it feels like poison in my mouth. It hurts. Like, what? He's like, no, you have to get past the part where it hurts. Why do I want to get past the part where it hurts? It's got to be like, you know, like I smoked a little bit when I was a kid and it made you dizzy. Why? And they're like, no, you got to keep smoking to get past that. Why do I want to get past that? I finally had to, anyway. We only really went smoking when we went camping and stuff. So anyway, none of that has to do. Growth hurts. Growth takes work and effort. Growth is going to hurt. And so when you first start to put your faith into Jesus, when you first start to like grow a little bit, and it starts to, you know, because the first time that you have to, okay, Lord, I trust you're a God of peace. I want to put my peace in you. Actually, this reminds me of another story. I was 18, and my girlfriend and I at the time were fighting over something stupid. Who knows? You know, I was 18. Of course, you fight over something stupid. And I was laying on her bedroom floor. She had stomped out. And I'm just now beginning to invest a little bit in the Lord. And I was like, okay, God, I'm going to give you a shot. That's what I said. I'm going to give you a shot. You're a God of peace. Give me some peace right here. And the Lord spoke to me as clearly as I have ever heard it. It rang like a bell through my heart. I knew exactly what he said, and I will never forget it. He said, Jared, I want you to dump her. That's exactly what he said to me. Which surprised me that God would talk like that, but that's exactly what he... And I was like, no way, dude, no way. And I avoided the Lord for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, I lived miserable. No joke, miserable. Unless I was actually with her in her presence, then I was miserable. And finally, I was like, okay, I can't do this. And it was painful. But I'm much more peaceful on this side. I learned how to have a little bit of peace then. And so it's going to hurt. Like, he's going to require some things of you. And maybe, you know, God has asked you to get rid of your girlfriend or whatever it is, whatever your version of girlfriend is. Maybe God has asked you to get rid of your thing, but you're not willing. And so now you're just living miserable. Why are you living like that? Stop. Let it go. Let go of the thing, because I promise you it's better on this side. Look, and I still got a lady in my life. I have a wonderful wife, right? And that happened. Like, if I was still dating that girl, we'd be miserable together, right? That would be terrible. No. Shannon and I are chasing Jesus together, and it's awesome. It's so much better than just dating somebody because of how they look or how funny they are or whatever. Okay. So you first get saved, you're drinking milk, and then we move on to training. We learn how to do a little bit of gentleness. We learn how to do a little bit of patience. We learn how to do a little bit of love or whatever. Like, you know, Pastor Randy was talking about last week, it's really hard to love people on the highway. It's really hard to love other drivers. It really is. But as we give over a little bit of ourselves, then it gets easier and easier and easier. Right? Doesn't it? Yeah, okay. All right, then we get to where we're performing a little bit, okay? Like you've got some basics down. I like to think of this level as like a college basketball player, right? His whole life is not basketball, but it's a big part of his life. That's probably going to be his future. He's done it enough now that he could actually teach some others how to do it. That sort of thing. Let's read Colossians chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17, let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So let this message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other. Sing psalms and hymns, right? So now you're to the point to where you can teach others, right? You got your salvation down. You started to grow a little bit, right? Now you've been added enough that you can actually start to teach others. How cool is that? Right now, you're not just like this miserable person anymore. Now you've grown enough to where you can actually show somebody else. You know, it never even dawned on me when I was first having kids that I'd have to teach somebody how to, like, use a spoon. Right? But you do. You have to teach your kids how to use a spoon. Right? And you might, I almost made fun of my son there. I'm not going to. But younger Christians need help. Right? You guys know young Christians. Right? They need help guiding and steering their way through this. And so sometimes they come to you and they say, well, you know, my life is in shambles. What would God say about this? Dumper. That's what God would say. Or whatever the thing is, let go of the thing you're holding on to. And the more you let go and the more God he does his thing, and then it's wonderful and you're teaching. And then it says, sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, right? Like, this is the part of your life where God is like the co-pilot, right? You're singing songs in the car. It's not just Sunday morning. You know, we can worship God not just on Sunday morning. Did you guys know that? Like, you can do this in your car. You can have spiritual awesome times in your car on the way to work, right? You totally can. You can you can pray always. You can always be investing in who he is. There's like, there are moments when you don't have your phone with you, and I know that's like chaotic to think about. How can I not have my phone? But prayer is always available to you. There's never a moment you don't have prayer available to you, and it's worth investing. Okay, so then we get full on where God's not your co-pilot anymore. Now he's the entire plane, and you're just a passenger in it. Like, you're just, wherever this thing is going, the windows are fogged out. You're just, wherever this thing is going, it's where I'm going. Let's look at, and this is crazy to even think about. We read this a couple of weeks ago. This is Romans chapter 9, verse 3. For my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters, I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. Now, here's Paul, a guy who's so advanced in his Christianity, that he's now saying out loud, I would be willing to go to hell if all of my Jewish brothers and sisters could go to heaven. As much as I admire that statement, as much as I think that's some full-on, like, pro-Christianity, I can't get there. I'm not there. I can't even say that. And I mean, it's embarrassing to say this. It's a little bit of vulnerability for you guys. I can't even say that about my kids. I can't. I don't love them enough to go to spend forever in hell to guarantee their salvation. I can't say that. Right, but this is next level Christianity. This is full on. I'll go wherever you want to go. I'll do whatever you want to do. I'll give myself away completely for you. I'll do anything for the people that for you, God, and for the people that you love. That's a level I can't even imagine. And I'm out of time here, so I was gonna walk through like Moses' life, and we were gonna look at the burning bush and how he was such. Moses was a basket case, right? He was like, no, I'm not going to go. No, I'm not going to do it. And then eventually he puts his whole life on the line, just like Paul does here. Paul says, I'd be willing to go to hell for them. And Moses stands in between God and the people of Israel because God's like, I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to kill them all and start over with you. And Moses is like, please don't. So Moses stands in the gap between God and the Israelites and talks God down off of his anger. Now that's putting your life in your hands right there when you go looking at God being like, no, please don't do that. Who are you to talk to God like that? Right? We did walk through that just a little bit, but that's some next level Christianity. God, I'll do anything for you and for your people. I hope that this rings for you. I hope that this is sinking in, right? If you're a baby Christian, stop being a baby Christian. If you're training, that's great. That's great. Keep training. Train harder. Give more. Read more. Pray more. Invest more in these scriptures. If you're performing, you're at the level where you're teaching others and you're singing songs and hymns and you're excited about, then great. There's still more. There's still more to be given away. And everybody who ever got close to God has some sentence like this in their life where it says, and they were associated with grief, right? That's what's coming. Right? If you want to get that deep in it, then you're associated. It said about Jesus that he was associated with the deepest grief because everywhere he looked, he saw hurt and pain in the people that he loved. And I think the deeper we get in, I think the more and more that becomes a reality to people like Moses and to people like Paul and to people like Jesus. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, help us to give our hearts away to you completely. God, I pray we don't hold any part back, that we give ourselves away entirely. God, for each person in this room, God, for those that are still baby Christian, God, wake them up. Move them to you, Father. God, for those who starting to learn a little bit, Lord, encourage them, Lord, like as they give a little piece to you, then show them how awesome you are so they'll want more, Father. God, for each one who's performing, Father, who's doing awesome, Lord, help us to want more, to see more, to experience more, to teach more, to sing songs more, to sing spiritual songs more, to hymns more. God, help us to give more and more and more, God, until we're full blown, just riding in a plane, we don't even know where it's going, type Christianity. That's what we want, Father. We want to love you the deepest way possible. God, you're good and you're holy. We love you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.